Maybe they go 0-17. I mean, this is the one team out of the entire NFL that I think could go completely winless this season.
Welcome to the Fantasy Flow Podcast. Andy, you got some snacks there?
Snacks. Love my Cheez-Its.
Very nice, very nice. I have a beverage, no snacks. But yeah, this episode, it's going to be laid back. It's going to be just fun. We're talking predictions for the 2025 NFL season. It's one of our favorite episodes to do every year because, you know, no one really remembers when you're wrong, and when you're right, you get to talk about it for at least another year, you know? Also, I mean, there's no rules. Like, we can talk bets, gambling, like, because we're going to be throwing out some over-unders and as far as our predictions go. Last year, we did this. We actually went and we threw down money, and Andy, both you and I, we made money, right? We were in the positive, so... yeah, stay tuned. Maybe follow us, because yeah, we're definitely going to be throwing down some bets again. What are your thoughts regarding this season? AFC, NFC, what sticks out to you the most right now as we look at teams' win totals?
Yeah, I'm going to start with the Minnesota Vikings. This team has been a point of discussion a lot for you and me. I remember when you first asked me, how do we evaluate this team? And I told you, if Kevin O'Connell can make Sam Darnold good, make Kirk Cousins good, he's going to make JJ McCarthy good. And this team, this roster is just so stacked. It's too good to fail. It's had a great head coach. Their over under is 8.5. I'm smashing the over on this. I know JJ might come out a little slow, and that's okay. This team can carry him to over nine wins or over.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. 8.5 is kind of ridiculous for a team that won 13, was it? No, it was 14 games last year.
Right, yep.
They won 14 regular season games last year, 14-3. That's an insane number. And just because they lost Sam Darnold, they're gonna fall off. They're gonna go back to being a 500 team. I don't think that anybody thinks that Sam Darnold was the reason they won 14 games last year. So yeah, you switch quarterbacks, but like, as long as JJ McCarthy doesn't suck, which no quarterback under Kevin O'Connell has sucked, like not even Josh Dobbs, like in replacement of Kirk Cousins, like guys just come into this system and produce. So yeah, JJ McCarthy, national champion at Michigan, he has a whole redshirt year in the most quarterback-friendly system in the league, and now he's going to step in with weapons like Justin Jefferson, maybe you've heard of him, a healthy TJ Hawkinson, whom Sam Darnold didn't even have for most of the season, Jordan Addison when he comes back from his suspension. It's a great group of weapons. They have two running backs now, and oh, by the way, in the offseason, they revamped their interior offensive line, which was this team's biggest weakness last year. They poached two great interior offensive linemen from the Colts in the offseason. So I just really love what they did. Oh, and they drafted my favorite offensive line prospect in the draft. There's so much to like here. I think the only reason to be worried isn't really JJ McCarthy, although, I mean, he is an unknown. It's just how stacked the division is. Because I do like the Lions, obviously. They won 15 games last year. I like the Packers. They're a good team. And the Bears, they should be an improved squad. And I don't know what that looks like in a division as stacked as this. But like I said, last year, the Vikings came away with 14 wins. So yeah, maybe it goes down a little bit. But like 8.5 is ridiculous. Like I would be willing to tease that like go even farther, like 9.5, 10.5. Like that's all within reason. But right now you really don't have to. The last sportsbook line that I saw was -140 at 8.5, which is just, that's a smash. Andy, what do you think about their division and their schedule?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, this division is stacked, probably the best division in football. And I just want to compare it to last year. Their win total was 6.5. So imagine teasing that to 7.5, 8.5, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's just crazy. They were the, I'm looking at last year's chart. They were the number one team out past their expectation when it comes to win total, right?
I mean, and Sam Darnold had never done that before. He'd never done that before.
Yes, exactly. We all kind of lost hope on him, and he had a resurgent year with this amazing team. They go from 6.5 to 8.5. Heck, even if they lose 4 games and go to 10 wins, 4 of those 14 wins, and they go to 10 wins, I'm more than okay with that. So Vikings is my number one pick.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I'll go next, and I'll go with an under. This is a strategy that I capitalized on last year. I talked about it then. I'll talk about it now. The projections for NFL teams that Vegas has are truncated towards the median outcome. So you're going to find little edges on the outsides, on the margins. And so my first one, I'm going to go New Orleans Saints under. You could get it at 5.5, but I'm going to be bold and I'm going to say under 4.5 wins in 2025. The Saints team is bad, and it starts with the quarterback position. They have absolutely no idea what they're doing. There's talks of Spencer Rattler starting the year. That's yikes. Their receiver room is yikes because Chris Olave can't stay healthy. It's not very deep. You got Alvin Kamara, but like his offensive line is it's horrible. It's horrible, and more injuries are coming out just as of this week. I think they lost another one for the year. Another one's dealing with a Liz Frank injury. Like, it's just a nightmare. Like, so much so that like Tyrann Mathieu, their Pro Bowl safety, he just called it quits. He said, I retire. Like, there's no point in playing this year. I've got what I wanted out of the NFL. Like, this is going to be a nightmare. Then you have some guys, just old guys who are still clinging to the roster who probably should retire. So it's just really tough. And the roster is just old and it's in desperate need of a reset. And they did reset at the head coach position. It's his first year as a head coach. I don't think it's just not going to work this year. This is just a reset year. I don't see them coming out on top 5 times. That would be wild,
no,
in my opinion.
No, this team is going to be completely different next year. It's going to be a complete reset. And this is just like a let me get my feet wet year for that whole team, that new whole regime. I think a lot of people are going to get cut, maybe even during the season, or traded away. This team is just a dumpster fire. Last year they were projected at 7.5 wins and they hit 5. I was surprised that I forgot that they even hit 5. I thought they just hit 4. So now they're going projected 2 less wins this year, and I would suspect that they even have 2 less wins, go down from 5 to 3. Maybe they go 0-17. I mean, this is the one team out of the entire NFL that I think could go completely winless this season.
They really only won 5 games last year.
I'm shocked by that. I thought it was 4.
And they had Derek Carr for half the year. I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. I think under 4.5 feels pretty safe, which is crazy to say.
All right, moving on from the crappy Saints. If you haven't already guessed that this team is going to be on our list, well, then I don't know what you're doing listening to this, because it's the Denver Broncos. 9.5 this year. That's an easy smash, easy over, where you and me both believe in Bo Nix. What, I forget what the stat was, what they had 3 losses, 3 wins within 1 point. I forget exactly what you said last episode.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I got it. They went 10-7 last year, and in 1-score games, they went 1 win, 6 losses.
Thank you. Yes. That all that needs to do is go 500 or better in that category, mm-hmm. and we have an easy bet right here. This team's going to be deadly. This team's going to be lethal. This team's going to be in your face with the quarterback, with the defense, with the running backs, with the wide receiver weapons. I mean, this is like Sean Payton's wet dream right here. And I can't wait to see how much they succeed.
Yeah, it's Sean Payton's wet dream, and I can't wait to dive in. I mean, no. Look, we've said it on previous episodes. I don't want to just repeat myself. But yeah, I mean, they've made incredible additions this offseason, both in free agency and the draft, mostly centered around the offense, because guess what? They already had one of the best defenses in football last year. But, you know, just for good measure, let's spend our first round pick on another cornerback opposite the reigning defensive player of the year. So, right. Like, this team doesn't really have any weaknesses, and Bo Nix, he's so promising. And it feels so validating because I really loved him coming out of college. I loved him, like neck up. Like, he's experienced. Mm. He's been through adversity. He's just a good coachable, like everything you want in a quarterback. And then he went out there. And what was the critique on him in college? It was too many, like, dump-offs, too many short passes. And what does he do in the NFL with Sean Payton, who coached up Drew Brees and Michael Thomas? Like it works. I'm sorry. Like, he's great at it. He's great at it, and they replicated it in the NFL. And in year two, I think he's going to take a leap, and he's going to improve on an already impressive rookie year going into next year.
I think if he had gone into this year's draft, he would have been the number one pick, number top three pick for sure. I think all the other quarterbacks that he got drafted with just had so much more potential and upside, where he was kind of like the unsexy quarterback pick. But Sean Payton saw that and said, I can work with that. It doesn't have to be crazy upside running ability. Like, I just need him to pass it to my talented players. That's like a Brock Purdy, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Are you worried about him CJ Strouding this year, having that sophomore slump that people talk about? Because I remember saying similar things about CJ Stroud and the Texans. I believe they were my, like, spicy Super Bowl pick from last year, because the Texans had a good defense and it just seemed like Stroud was going to take a leap, and they ended up firing their offensive coordinator because they're like, it didn't work. I don't know. Like, we couldn't replicate it. Do you have any worries there?
No, I mean, we also have to remember, like, CJ Stroud lost. He had Stephon Diggs in and out of the lineup the whole year. And then he lost his like best friend Tank Dell about a little bit past halfway through the season. I know he didn't look that great anyway, but I think that was a lot of injury related. I think that was a lot of offensive line related issues that now they got even worse, talking about Houston. But no, I don't anticipate that with the Broncos.
Yeah, I agree. I think their offensive line is perfectly healthy. They were good last year, and they've had a great camp, good vibes. Like every report that's coming out of that building is positive. And the thing that gives me the most trust in this team is Sean Payton. Like, he just has such a track record, and he's never had this, like, crazy down year where people get fired, like we saw with the Texans last year. There's just more institutional trust, more data there. So I love that pick. My second pick, again, same theme about capitalizing on the fact that Vegas kind of counts on, like, the median outcome. We picked the Saints over here. I'm going to pick the Eagles as my second team to go over 11.5 wins. Look, it's not just that they're the reigning Super Bowl champs. They dominated. Like, it was crazy to watch both sides of the ball just perfectly execute. They made it look easy, and they are running it back with pretty much everyone. Like, their biggest loss was a nose tackle. And they have the second youngest roster in the entire league, only behind the Packers. Yeah, that should make every NFL fan outside of Philadelphia roll their eyes, because they're so young at every position. All these draft picks are hitting, and they're starting, and they're deep, and it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
If you can't beat them, join them. And so I am proverbially joining them by betting on them to at least win 12 games. Last sports book I saw had over 11 and a half as plus 110, which doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe they have a little bit of a come down, Super Bowl hangover, whatever you want to call it, but they just got to get to 12. And yeah. I did this last year. Like I said, I bet on the Ravens to go over 11 and a half because I saw them as the best roster in the league going into last year, and they won 12 games. They had kind of a down year, to be honest. They barely won the division, but they still got to 12. It's just 12 and 5 for the reigning Super Bowl champs. Come on.
Right. Yeah, that's an easy sell, in my opinion. I think their rotation for their defensive line has to be like 11 guys, maybe 10. I mean, it's just ridiculous how deep they are on their bench. If some guy gets hurt or some guy gets tired for a play or two, throw in the next guy, and he's just a notch below in talent or in skill or whatever you want to say. I mean, it's like there's no difference who they put out there. They're going to be effective. And I think, yes, they lose Kellen Moore to the Saints, as we talked about, but Vic Fangio, I mean, that's the X factor on this team. He gets let go from Miami and joins the Eagles. I mean, Howie Roseman just must be like counting dollar bills when he goes home, because this is just easy money for him at this point.
Totally. Yeah. And I love that people hate the Eagles coach. They doubt him, Nick Sirianni. I love that they doubt the offensive coordinator who's been in the building for years now, and they just promoted from within. Like, that's why you're getting that plus 110 price is just right. the sort of brain drain that, like, they lose more assistant coaches and things like that. Like, come on. Like, it's so stable. Like, I just can't see it going wrong. Anyways,
I agree.
What you got next, Andy?
Yeah, I'm picking an under this time. I'm going with the Arizona Cardinals at under 8.5. They went the last year, they were over and under at 7, and they hit the over just by one win. They had 8 wins. Again, that's one of these teams where I'm like, they had 8 wins? Like, that's crazy to me. Their offense was terrible. Their defense was even worse. I remember when we started the season last year, I think I could only name one starter on their defense, or two, sorry, Buda Baker, of course, and Kaiser White. Like, that's it. And this year is not much different. I know they revamped the defense, so hopefully it should be better, but I just don't have really a lot of faith in the offense except for James Conner. Kyler Murray, it's such a hit and miss type of guy and mood, and everything about that team is just like, they're either going to score 40 on you or they're going to struggle to move the ball the entire game until the last two drives of the fourth quarter or something like that. And it's just hard to trust a team like that. Their over-under is at 8.5. It's up from last year, and they only won one more game than their over-under. I just can't trust this team, and I'm picking the under at plus 110, which is a great, great price, in my opinion.
Yeah, so the Cardinals would need to have a winning season for you to lose that. And it just seemed like the year to do that was last year, with the 49ers just in total free fall. Mm. The Rams, it took them forever to get it together. They were really struggling to click. Cooper Kupp struggled to stay healthy. It was just still a little too early in the McDonald system for the Seahawks, and they still went 8-9. So it's like, this year, with the 49ers having this incredibly easy schedule, the Rams adding Davante Adams, and just that defense just getting another year into its prime with all those young players, I don't really see there being room for the Cardinals. And I just wanted to bring up those two teams, the 49ers and Rams, because those are like my honorable mentions. Not that we're really doing that, but like, I love the over for both of those teams. And the fact that I love the over for both of those teams kind of like makes it difficult to pick either of them. And there's concerning injury news coming out about the Rams. You know, Matthew Stafford slipped a disc or something. The offensive line has some injuries that, like, we're really just not sure about right now, because teams don't have to report to the media. The rules are just different in preseason as opposed to in season. So there's a lot of murkiness there. And then with the 49ers, I don't really even believe in that team. They have so much turnover, lost so much talent, but their schedule, Andy, like, Have you looked at their schedule? Like, I know we've heard that, like, they have a really easy schedule because they finished fourth place last year. But, like, if you look at their schedule, it is dumb. Like, so I don't know. Like, maybe that team just messes around and wins 11 games and wins the division. Like, I like the over for both of those. But I didn't pick the 49ers either because Vegas knows that they have an easy schedule.
Right.
So you'd have to go. I think it's over 10.5, and you're not even getting a good price for that. So for my third team, I ended up staying in the NFC, but I went to a different division. I went over 8.5 for the Atlanta Falcons at +125. This is just a projection that Michael Penix Jr. is that guy and that he's going to take a leap this year. Not going to sophomore slump. He's going to actually show you what he's capable of with a full offseason as the starter. And I mean, look, if he's not the guy, then like Kirk Cousins is right behind him, and Kirk Cousins is supposedly healthy right now. He's had all offseason. So like, I feel like you're pretty insulated from injury. But Andy, I want to read you some teams on the Falcons schedule, and you just stop me when you hear a difficult opponent. Okay.
Okay.
The Saints. The Saints again. The Panthers. The Panthers again. The Dolphins at home. The Colts. The Jets. The Seahawks at home. Going to Boston to play the Patriots.
Yeah, okay.
Going to Arizona to play the Cardinals. Like, I think I just listed off like 9 matchups, and those aren't even difficult. And so if you can at least split with the Bucks and take care of the Panthers and the Saints twice, then that's 5-1 right there in your division. And then, yeah, you just got to beat up on some of these lesser teams. I definitely think you can get a winning season out of this team.
What did you say the over-under was?
8.5.
Yeah, last year they were 9.5, and they won 8 games. And really, they were, I mean, they were ahead of the division. No, dude, they were so good those like first 9 weeks or so. I mean, what, they were like 6-3
record
leading
wise,
the
yeah.
division. Yeah. I mean, they were, and then Kirk Cousins gets hurt. I mean, if you've watched the quarterback show, he kind of explains like what happened. You see the tackle or we see the hit that he took, and it just went downhill from there. They just relied on Kirk Cousins too much. They didn't want to pull the switch and put Michael Penix in. So I'm about it. I have a Michael Penix in Dynasty, so I really hope you're right. I really hope the Falcons take a huge leap up forward. It's going to be interesting. They could be the Bengals of the NFC because their defense is so shot, and their offense is going to need to score a lot of points to keep up with the other team that they're facing. So, yeah, I'm about it.
I'm not threatened by their schedule and what they did in the draft. I don't know that I love it from like a strategy standpoint, but I love it for 2025 because they went and sold their future first round pick to add 2 first round defenders, Jalen Walker, outside linebacker from Georgia, and James Pierce Jr., a terrifying edge rusher with incredible speed from Tennessee. I have high hopes for both of those guys, but if just one of those can be an impact player right away, I think this defense is a little better than most people think. That was 6, right?
Yeah.
All right. So to recap, Saints under 4.5, Falcons over 8.5, Eagles over 11.5, and then Andy, your 3?
Yep. Minnesota over 8.5, Denver over 9.5, and the Cardinals under 8.5 wins.
All right. Yeah, so you guys feel free to follow along, bet responsibly. Probably don't parlay all 6 of these, but if you do, let us know. That'd be awesome. That's what we got for over-unders. And now, for our next segment, we're going to talk about Super Bowls, baby.
Super Bowl!
Who's going to be in the Super Bowl in February? Andy, we are going to hit our listeners with 2 predictions each. One is going to be traditional, and the other one's going to be spicy. Was I hungry when I made this segment? I'm always hungry. That's my secret. All right, Andy, what's your traditional Super Bowl prediction.
Okay, who has the best two rosters in the NFL? We already know one answer is the Eagles. The second answer, Baltimore Ravens. That is who I'm going with the Super Bowl. This was my exact pick last year. Last year, I said the Ravens are going to win it. This year, I'm going to say the Eagles are going to go back-to-back Super Bowl champions. I know. Chalk it up. Let me get the chalkboard and get my chalk because I'm all about it. But I don't care. Those are the best two rosters going into the season, and I'm sticking with that as my reason.
So you last year, you predicted the Ravens would beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Correcto.
Right on, man. Yeah. Last year, I predicted that the 49ers would exact revenge against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So we both got kind of half of the equation.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Well, this should hardly come as a surprise, but my traditional Super Bowl prediction is the Philadelphia Eagles over the Baltimore Ravens. So literally the exact same thing that you said.
No way. We did not know this coming into this episode, so that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, man, like I already said, the Eagles are the second youngest roster in the league. Yeah, they're basically running back one of the most well-rounded teams we've ever seen. The passing game with Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and the Slim Reaper, and then the running game with Saquon and that line, like, and then the defense, like the stacked defensive line, the linebackers, Zach Bond coming out of nowhere to be an all-pro, and then the secondary where they're hitting on all these like guys on rookie contracts, Cooper DeJean, shout out. Man, and then the Ravens, like, they're just due. And that's a horrible argument because we see teams all the time who are due that don't get there, like the Bills. But honestly, you look back at last year, like the Ravens, they beat the Chiefs last year if Isaiah Likely keeps that toe in bounds. They beat the Bills in the playoffs if Andrews doesn't drop that two-point conversion. So it's like they're right there. And man, sorry, but like I think they were the best team in football last year on paper. And this year, their biggest weakness was the secondary, and they drafted the top safety in the NFL draft, and they signed Jair Alexander from the Packers. So,
yep. Coming back to the Eagles, they spent their first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, their first 5 picks all on defensive players. I mean, that's how much trust they have in the existing offense, and that's how much they realize that defense wins games. And then with Baltimore, I mean, when you talk about coaching, when you talk about scheme, when you talk about talented players, and Lamar is the difference maker here. I mean, he is everything for this team, and we're all just living in his world.
Totally. I totally agree. All right, Andy. So those teams are kind of favorites.
100%.
What's your spicy Super Bowl prediction for 2020? Yeah.
So the AFC is tough because only one team out of the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Broncos, the Chargers, only one team can come out of there, and they're going to be beating each other up in the playoffs. However the seeding goes, it's going to be a bloodbath in the AFC playoffs.
Always is.
My spicy pick is going to be the Bills come out on top. Josh Allen, X Factor. They come out on the AFC. And then my sneaky NFC is Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't seen Green Bay in the Super Bowl in quite some time. Jordan Love can stay healthy. This team is very well-rounded. And they just drafted a wide receiver. I think they could be a sneaky division leader in the NFC North and work their way to have home field advantage up until the NFC championship game. A couple things go their way against the Eagles and boom, they're in the Super Bowl.
You could be right. I see the Packers as like the third best team in their division, but I respect the spice because that is spicy. And I think they're a good team. Ball bounces their way a couple times. I can definitely see it. Yeah, I can see it. Matt LaFleur is one of the most consistent coaches in the league. He has one of the best win-loss records of any active coach in the league. And yeah, there's not a lot of good reasons to doubt the Packers. I would just point to just the strength in their own division and how tough that's going to be. But I'm going to talk about both sides of my mouth right here, because my spicy prediction for the Super Bowl, I have the Broncos taking down the whole thing, surpassing the Chiefs for the first time in a decade. I think the Chiefs are on their way down, and I think the Broncos are absolutely on their way up. The Broncos obliterated the Chiefs in week 18 last year when the Chiefs were resting starters, so it doesn't count. And then their other matchup we already talked about with like the blocked field goals, time expires. Okay, the Broncos had them. Okay, so they split games. These are very evenly matched teams. I think the Chiefs got worse this offseason. I think the Broncos got even better. And I don't know how many games this Broncos team is going to lose. So if we're being spicy, why not just send them all the way to the Super Bowl?
Sure.
And on
sure.
the other side, I got the LA Rams. And I picked the Rams as my spicy Super Bowl team last year. And honestly, they didn't really disappoint, because they were spicy as hell. They won the division, they won a playoff game, and they went toe-to-toe with the eventual Super Bowl champions in that playoff game. It was real close. And yeah, I think, you know, if this whole Matthew Stafford thing, they're just being hyper-conservative like Sean McVay always is in the preseason. If that's all this is, I think the Rams' ceiling is really high. And if it's not the Eagles, I think maybe it's the Rams. So, yeah, I got Broncos sure. over Rams. All right. Well, now we are going to move on to MVP predictions. Who's going to win MVP? And, Andy, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to take us all on a little bit of a journey. I did a deep dive into the MVP. Okay. I did this a few years ago at this point. I went through, I systematically eliminated every single NFL player until I had honed in on one player that I knew was going to be the MVP. I said, I'd figured it out. And I threw some money down on Tom Brady to win the Super Bowl when he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he did not win MVP. They gave it to Aaron Rodgers back-to-back years. And all Tom Brady got was a little Super Bowl trophy. So I was way off. I think he finished second in MVP voting. But anyways, I went through and I did another deep dive this year. And this time I'm going to let the audience in on it, okay? So over the last 12 years, every NFL MVP has been a quarterback. And it's been a quarterback who won their division. So I'm looking at all the NFL players, and immediately we can narrow down the MVP to 32 players. Now, they also need to win their division. So I'm looking at all the quarterbacks on teams who cannot win their division, and I eliminated 13 of them. Would you like me to read them aloud for you?
Sure, let's hear it.
Whoever the Saints are starting at quarterback, whoever the Browns are starting at quarterback, whoever the Colts are starting at quarterback, Bryce Young, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Tua Tagovailoa, Cam Ward, Drake May, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Kyler Murray, and Dak Prescott. Those teams are not winning their division, therefore their quarterbacks cannot win MVP. So now we're down to, what, 19 players?
Okay.
Again, over the last 12 years, every NFL MVP has been a quarterback who won their division, and their teams averaged exactly 13 regular season wins.
Oh, boy.
And this is going back 12 years, so some of those years, maybe even half of those years, were only 16-game seasons. So this needs to be a really good team. They averaged 13 regular season wins. So Just looking at some of the remaining quarterbacks, I'm like, really, can this team get to 13 wins? And, you know, that's an average, so maybe you get to 12, but, like, 12 wins and a division title. I went through this with more scrutiny, and I eliminated 7 more quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, I don't think the Steelers are getting to 13 wins.
No, no.
Michael Penix and the Falcons, they're not getting to 13 wins.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. Caleb Williams and the Bears. I'm eliminating Baker Mayfield. I don't think the Bucks are a 13-win type team. I'm eliminating Joe Burrow because I don't think that defense is going to allow them to get near 13 wins. And I'm eliminating Jordan Love because in that division, that stacked division, I don't see the Packers either winning the division or getting to 13 games.
Okay.
I imagine that that's going to cause a little controversy considering you just picked them as your spicy Super Bowl take.
No, no pushback.
No pushback. Okay, okay. we cruise on. All of our listeners are like... But no, all right. I love it. Okay, so that eliminated seven more players. So now I want to look at the stats of these 12 MVPs from the last 12 years. I averaged all of their stats. Okay, so these are the stats of MVP winners on their MVP season. They averaged 42 total touchdowns and 10 turnovers. That's an incredible season, right? So yeah. you are a quarterback who wins your division. You win, on average, 13 games, score 42 total touchdowns, and only commit 10 turnovers.
Okay.
So now I'm looking at the remaining quarterbacks, and I'm like, okay, which quarterbacks cannot reasonably approach 42 total touchdowns? I eliminated J.J. McCarthy.
Yes.
First year, I mean, I love the kid's situation, but come on. And also, we're talking only 10 turnovers. I eliminated C.J. Stroud. Because guess what? His career high, he's only been in the league 2 years, but had that one good rookie year, he only scored 26 touchdowns. And then it went down.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
I eliminated Brock Purdy. Okay, he's been in the league a bit, but his career high touchdowns is only 33. That was his best season ever, was 33 touchdowns. Could it go up? Probably not this season. I mean, all of his weapons are hurt.
Okay.
Okay, I eliminated Jared Goff.
Okay.
His career high in total touchdowns was last year, and that was 37. So that's almost close enough.
Yeah.
He committed 12 turnovers. Scored 37 total touchdowns. He honestly had the best year of his whole career, and then he lost his offensive coordinator. I don't know. Maybe there's a little projection there. He's easily the closest player that we've eliminated in terms of statistics. And then the last player that I eliminated because of this was Jaden Daniels. Last year, Jaden Daniels, he scored 31 total touchdowns last year.
Okay, okay. Okay.
Only committed 9 turnovers. But the fact that he only put up 31 in a season where everyone kind of feels like he dominated, like that's kind of how people talk about his rookie year as being the greatest rookie year of all time. And Jaden Daniels dominated. The league didn't have tape on him. They weren't prepared for the kid. He was like 10 touchdowns away from an MVP season. And he's in the same division as the Eagles. So...
Right.
Those two factors led to me eliminating him here.
Okay.
Okay. So now we are only down to 7 players. So first of all, before I go any farther, you're welcome, listening audience. I've already narrowed down the MVP to 7 players. Now we get into like narratives. So because these are all teams, these are all quarterbacks who could win their division, who could...
Mm-hmm.
have this MVP type year where you're around 42 touchdowns and 10 turnovers because they've done something similar so far in their career. In some cases, I mean, some of these guys have won MVP. Like some of these guys are in the sample size. So
Right.
I want to talk about Josh Allen off the rip because I think he's the reigning MVP. He's probably the odds on favorite to win it. But I think one of the biggest reasons why he won it last year was because he was like the new hotness and he hadn't won it before. So he just won it last year. He's not the new hotness. And his turnovers, since he's been good, since he's been Josh Allen, which is 5 years now of just excellent play from Josh Allen. His turnovers by year, 14, 17, 16, 21, and then last year, 6.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So you get an MVP trophy when you only turn the ball over 6 times, and you're Josh Allen. So I think that's an outlier. I don't think he's going to win the trophy again.
Okay.
Next, Justin Herbert. His career high was 41 touchdowns in his sophomore year. That was like a huge breakout year. His team wasn't even good, but the offense, you know, they had to throw the ball a ton just to stay in games, and Herbert was electric. But the way I see this Chargers team, it's either a run-first offense or it's a mediocre offense. Do you know what I mean? Like with Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, they want to run the ball.
Yeah.
So I don't see him throwing, like, if he's throwing enough to reach these benchmarks, like, that's a huge problem, is kind of the way I see it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a run first option team. It's Jim Harbaugh wants Justin Herbert to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he said that. How can I make my quarterback the best possible quarterback in the league, the number one quarterback in the league?
So
you're right. It's either going to be run first or struggle to move the ball.
Jalen Hurts. I just don't think he's ever going to really get that kind of individual credit being on such a loaded team.
Sure.
You kind of get that feeling. I feel this way about Jared Goff as well. It's like if their team succeeds, he's like fourth or fifth in terms of like who gets the credit. It's very possible, but that just narrative wise, that's kind of how I see it. Like if they were to repeat with Saquon, you know, going for 2,000 yards again, like Jalen Hurts isn't winning the MVP. That's how I see it.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes. The offense is like, frankly, below average lately. And Travis Kelce's getting up there. He's just not throwing the ball around like he did that 1 year when he threw 50 touchdown passes. So I'm gonna rule him out just because that's not how the Chiefs win. He's not putting up MVP numbers. He hasn't lately. He's capable of it. Some would say he's due, and he's still technically the best player in the league. I just don't think statistics wise, it's gonna be him at when all is said and done, just because he's been so far away the last few years. Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. That.
Yeah, easy one. Okay. So he threw a bunch of touchdown passes his first year with the Rams when they, I think it was the year they went to the Super Bowl and lost. No, that was Jared Goff. No, yeah. So they traded for Stafford and then won the Super Bowl. That year, like Cooper Kupp's year, Stafford had pretty much MVP stats. I think he had 17 turnovers, which is why he didn't get it. But I don't know. Maybe they could replicate that with Davante Adams, but he's just old and he's fallen apart, and it seems unlikely.
He's not that guy.
Okay. Yeah,
he's not that guy.
Okay. So we've eliminated everyone except for two players. One of them already has two MVPs, Lamar. They're not going to give him a third one, so it's got to be Bo Nix, right?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I am kidding. Bo Nix, his career high, quote-unquote, I mean, he's been in the league 1 year, same as Jaden Daniels. But where Jaden Daniels had 31 total touchdowns, Bo Nix had 34 total touchdowns. And I think Bo Nix actually has a better chance to win his division than Jaden Daniels. I think it's a better team. It's on the upswing, as opposed to Jaden Daniels, who knows what's going on with Terry McLaurin. They added Debo, but Debo's not Debo. He's a shell of himself at this point. So I don't know. You could eliminate Bo Nix and just say he's too young, it's too early. But like, one of these narratives has to be wrong, is what I'm saying. One of these seven players
is
probably going to win the MVP. One of these narratives is just going to be thrown into the garbage. Either Lamar gets his third MVP, or Bo Nix is not too young, or Jalen Hurts actually gets the credit he deserves, right? Or Josh Allen only commits 6 turnovers again. Like one of these things has to be true, is the way I see it. I think my favorites Lamar Jackson, because I think the fact that he didn't win it last year is going to help his case this year, even if he just does the same thing. He basically had MVP numbers last year, but so did Josh Allen, and the voters went with Josh Allen. And then for the money, my second favorite bet to win MVP would be Bo Nix, because he's way down there.
Wow. Wow. Where's that orange colored train and that has the big old Bronco on the side of it, because we need a bigger train.
Yeah, we are the hype train.
Yeah, we are the Broncos train.
I'll get one. I'll get a prop for next episode.
Right. What a display of stats and narratives.
Maybe a little too much.
I gotta say, I mean, that's, you thought deep about this, and I can appreciate that to the full extent. Man, knocking on a couple guys though. Had the Jaden Daniels one. I understand winning the division argument, right? So I originally wrote down Joe Burrow because I'm looking at last year and I'm saying, how did he not win it last year? And everything you're saying in the beginning of this makes sense. He didn't have enough wins and he didn't win his division. His stats were unreal.
Yes.
Most attempts, most completions, most touchdowns.
I have it right in front of me, Andy. I have it right in front of me. He had 45 total touchdowns and 9 turnovers. So that's an MVP right there, but he only had 9 wins.
Exactly. And he didn't win his division. And so kind of using your information to reevaluate my evaluation, I'm going to go with Brock Purdy because this man got paid. This man has the easiest schedule, and now he has Christian McCaffrey back. I think they can hit double-digit wins. I think they can hit 13 wins, and I think they can win their division. And he might be in that Jalen Hurts type of category of never getting the full credit, but if he puts up the numbers to back up his stats and back up that conversation and back up that narrative, I don't see why he can't be in that conversation. I think the biggest hurdle, though, is those two things that you keep on hammering, is winning division and getting 12 to 13 wins.
Yeah, yeah. Look, 13 wins in a division title is totally within the realm of outcomes for the 49ers. He would need to set a new career high in passing touchdowns. And with this group of weapons, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, he'll get Brandon Ayuk back at some point. Look, it's possible.
George Kittle.
It's possible. Yeah. Yeah. If Christian McCaffrey, it's just so many ifs that you need to stack on top. Like, Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, if Brandon Ayuk comes back, right? Like, but someone's got to win MVP. So I really don't mind it.
No. I think honestly, the biggest discussion with all this is going to be Jaden Daniels. We saw such a phenomenal year last year with him. There's a lot of hype around him. The narrative would be really cool for Washington, for himself. I think he has a lot of things going for him. But like you said, if you're not winning your division, I mean, we just saw it last year with Joe Burrow. If you don't win your division, you don't get to be in this conversation, basically.
Just looking at the last 12 MVP winners, that's been the case.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it is tough. And yeah, Jaden Daniels needs the Eagles to have a come down. That's part of the factor, right? But yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow, those are the two most bet on players to win MVP. Mm. So the confidence in the public versus like the money, like the odds that you're getting, those are the two most popular bets. I think the two most favorite, like it's Josh Allen and Lamar.
Right.
But yeah, I think if you were to bet on anyone to win MVP, place another bet on Lamar, because he's, in my opinion, he's in pole position to win it this year. Because just his style of play, he just racks up stats. It's just undeniable. He's safe with the ball. It's rushing, it's passing, and I see them as division favorites once again. I mean, we talked about how much we love their roster, right? So,
right. Yep. Lamar plus 550, Josh Allen plus 600, Joe Burrow plus 600. Where's Bo Nix on this list? Plus 6,000. I love that. We got to do that. We got to do
Let's do it.
$10. $10. Like, why not?
I think JJ McCarthy is pretty close to him. I mean, that would be insane, right?
That would be crazy for
That's
Minnesota.
Too crazy.
They would,
Okay.
yeah, that would be too crazy. I mean, we expect Minnesota to be good, but I don't know if we expect JJ McCarthy to come from Michigan to losing the entire season because of injury, and then coming back and just being an MVP level guy. That's a bit of a stretch for me.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it a little bit near the end of last year, but yeah, Sam Darnold won 14 games. Had 36 total touchdowns and 14 turnovers. So those numbers are close. He's like, that's close. So if JJ McCarthy can do that, and the Lions don't win 15 games, if they win their division, then he's going to be in the mix. But again, that's a huge if he can replicate Sam Darnold's success.
Right. I agree.
Any other names you want to throw out there, or are we good?
No, last one real quick is Jared Goff. You mentioned about his turnovers and everything. He had 12 interceptions. I can't see how many, if he had any fumbles or not, but
no fumble.
Okay, 12 interceptions. 5 of those came in one game. So I think they won that game too. I think they did too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if he takes 2 of those away and turns them into touchdowns, he has 37 touchdowns. Only 10 turnovers. He's probably in second place for MVP voting.
Yeah, and they're favored to win their division. So,
right.
Yeah, just Jared Goff, like, he's so vanilla. Like, his play style.
It is vanilla.
And everything.
Yeah,
like,
I know. But they had such
MVP.
A crazy year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong statistically. Like, you could totally make that argument.
Won the division. I mean, yeah, it was.
If he does that without Ben Johnson, I think he is going to get more credit.
Ooh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, that's going to be exciting to watch.
Last thing before we wrap, if y'all are still listening, I really appreciate it. I think most of our listeners are from Seattle, like we are. And I just want to talk about the Seahawks real quick. Predictions going into this year, Andy. I just listened to Colin Cowherd. He has the Seahawks winning the division. And most other analysts that I've heard, as well as Vegas, has the Seahawks finishing 4th. So where are you at, Andy? I think their win total is like 7.5 or 8.5 or something like that. What do you think the Seahawks do this year in 2025?
Give me the under.
Okay.
This team's going to be rough to watch on offense. This team's going to be really fun to watch on defense. I think the offense is going to take a pretty slow start. Yes, what we're seeing in preseason is like flashy, great run game, etc.
Yeah.
I think we're going to really see our offensive line, the flaws of our offensive line, come out in full swing, and it's not going to be pretty, in my opinion. Don't get me wrong. I would be happy to be wrong on this, but
of course,
that's what my gut is telling me. And I think next year is going to look really good. I think the defense is going to be really fun to watch this year. But new quarterback, new wide receivers, we'll see with Kenneth Walker. I don't think he lasts the whole year. It's hard to believe in this team to win the division, especially to win the division.
Yeah, not with that attitude. I love what we're seeing from Gray Zabel so far. He seems like a real one. I share some of your skepticism. You've already heard us give so much credit to Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings. It would be hypocritical to say, well, Sam Darnold's this great quarterback and he's coming over here and he's going to replicate that success. Like, no, we're giving more credit to the Vikings system than we are to Sam Darnold. We did an episode dedicated to the Seahawks. I think it was like at the beginning of free agency or going into free agency. It was like a roster breakdown. And we loved this team where it was at. We're like, oh yeah, we're sneaky. We're under the radar. We have this continuity. Geno Smith, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, like Noah Fant at tight end. Like it's gonna be fun to watch. And then they just blow up the offense. So yeah, it's hard to get too excited, honestly. And last year with the 49ers just taking an absolute nosedive, that felt like a missed opportunity. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah, bummer of a note to end it on, but
I'm surprised he's so high on the Seahawks compared to what the Rams got going for them, what the 49ers got going for them.
I feel like
we're kind of shoved into the corner, and we're one of those teams that not a lot of people are talking about, and I'm okay with that. We don't need to be a high subject. We don't need to be on the headlines of anything. Let's just go and have fun, win a couple games, at least get to 500. I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, I think we will be somewhere around 500. I think the defense is a little too good for our floor to be much lower than that. And Colin Coward, he would never admit it, but like, he's from Washington. Like, he's a little bit of a homer. I don't think he can really shake that. He's really worried about the Rams with Matthew Stafford, and the 49ers, he just doesn't really have faith that they're going to be good. I think on paper they lost a lot of talent. So he's leaning more into that and less on the schedule. I don't know if he's even looked at the schedule. He's a busy guy, you know? So that's kind of my take on it. I think he's always loved Sam Darnold too. I mean, he was so high on Sam Darnold when he was coming out of USC. Yeah. He loves himself a thick, trunky coastal kid.
Tall.
That's his guess. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He is. Yep. He's got a type.
He's a big fan of that. I'm excited to see how the Seahawks go against the Chiefs. We got to see, what a great preseason so far. We get to go against Pete Carroll and the Raiders, and it ends in a tie with a blocked field goal to end the game. I mean, what an exciting game. Pretty much like 85-80% of the game was exciting to watch. And now we get to go against the Chiefs, like Super Bowl, coming off their Super Bowl loss, but you know, going to the Super Bowl. So I mean, it's like these are two great teams that we get to go try all these new things against, and then just to see how the offense flows. I'm looking forward to the next preseason game.
Totally. Yeah, we held Ashton Jeanty to -1 yard. I mean, that's like the Seahawks backups really bottling up the Raiders starters for those first couple drives. So that's good to see. Kind of yikes if you're a Raiders fan. I'd be a little worried. Not about Ashton Jeanty, but just the fact that the starters couldn't get anything going. I don't know. Too small of a sample size to really say. But yeah, it's been fun so far. All right. I think that's all for us. Have a good one.
Thanks, y'all. Yep. Bye.
Thanks a ton for making it to the end of the episode. You're a real one. Don't forget to like and subscribe. That's a free, easy way to support the show, and it really helps us out. And leave us your comments down below if you're on YouTube, or send in your questions at thefantasyflowpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time.